Western Australian author Jan James has spent many years researching the contribution Aboriginal people made to Australia's war efforts. Her book is called Forever Warriors. It's dedicated to Charles D'Antoine. She does join me now. Good morning, Jan.
How are you, Lana?
Good. Thanks for joining me this morning.
It's a pleasure.
Why did you dedicate your book to Charles?
Well, I thought he was an incredible young man, and young man was the word. He was 23, when he had the presence of mind to carry out those incredible feats that he did. And I just thought that he, you know, that we should remember the things that these people did. And I went on a trip to Broome especially to interview his sisters, one of which now is, I don't know what you call it up there, but we'll say Nabaru, that's the word down here, rest in peace. And the other lady is Peggy Clemens. Mm. And it was just a fantastic experience. And she told me how that he told her that he spoke to this Dutch woman in sign language because neither could understand each other.
Yes, couldn't speak, yes.
Yes.
Jan, you've got a typed copy of a newspaper report from 1942, I believe, which describes how local people helped the survivors. Can you summarise what the men did?
Well, look, I think, well, you know, for a start, those who could have who were gone had to walk, most of them, overland only, and the sick and the infirm were all on the back of trucks in the main street of Broome when this started to happen. And I don't know what others did except Gerry Dardon. I know what he did. He was a pretty amazing man too. He was out walking. Well, I don't know whether you call it walking, but he was out in the bush in his country when he came across this mob of people who had been on one of the planes that had crashed, and the Flight of Diamonds, that book covers that story pretty well. Anyway, he took them to shelter. He shared his meagre rations with them and water and left them there and walked overland, I'm not quite sure, probably 40 or 50 miles to the nearest mission, Lombardina, and sought help. And if it hadn't have been for him, they'd have perished for sure.
Out of all the Aboriginal men who did help, what rewards were they given for their efforts?
Gerry Dardon, I think, received a billy can and an axe, or a hunting knife, I think it was, something like that. Nothing, really. Although, I think that Charles D'Antoine did receive some certificates, and the Dutch, of course, were indebted to him, because that's an amazing thing. I can only still feel... like for that mother who was there with her baby. If you've got children, you can just imagine how it was for her, surrounded by those sharks and bullets.
Mm.
And Charles, of course, he never thought about it. He jumped in there and saved their life. It was just such an amazing feat.
Is it too late, 70 years later, to be officially recognising all the others that helped?
Well, it depends who's doing the recognising. No, it's not too late. It's never too late. And he should be. You know, they did miraculous things, and I can't help but say that. They did things that wouldn't happen today, especially from 23-year-olds.
Jan, what have you learnt the most while writing this book?
Well, I've thought about this, you know, in between the time you asked me to come and speak and now. And there was the greatest thing, the greatest injustice. I have never really spoken about it. I did briefly touch on it in my book, and I had the politician who launched it say to me, you had every right to say that, you know. And up until that time, my mother had taught me a lot about the war. I was born in 1942. And all through my life, you know, I thought Australia was the best. It was the best country. Our soldiers were the best men. Everything. And then you, through your life, you hear something that changes your mind.
Mm.
In 1942, two Aboriginal men from Kojonup complained to the government the way they were being treated. Like, they had been, because of that, they were given passes, they had to, and a number, and they had to at all times be able to quote that number. If they left their place of employment, they were sent in the south, they were sent to the Moore River Native Settlement. Other areas would have had a place to go. Anyway, that strafing of broom was a critical thing to this country, to the Aboriginal people. Had the Japanese landed, the government, they had their numbers, they could locate an Aboriginal person at the drop of a hat if they needed to. They had their names, their numbers, and exactly where they were. They were not allowed to leave a town without showing their cards, without reporting it. And the idea was that the Australian government felt that they had treated the Aboriginal people so miserably and so dreadful that if the Japanese landed, they would join the Japanese, the Aboriginal people, and show them the lay of the land. And so the Aboriginal people were the enemy at that time. And it just, they were going to round them all up, take them by truck or rail, wherever they could, down to all places, Gemmalling, which is not far from here, and by train, take them up to Malcolm, which was the beginning of the Nullarbor Plain. And they bragged that they had formed this way of dealing with things from Germany. And I can only wonder what was going to happen at the other end of the line.
Mm. Jan James, thank you very much for sharing your research with us this morning.
It's a pleasure.